There's a lot of things in this old world that just do not make sense. Like why there's so few believers on the firing line, while so many others sit the fence. But if you want to know where the Word of God stands, and believe it wants to use your feet and hands, it's time to take your faith out of the seats and into the streets, and come along with me. If you only look, then you will see on WCN TV.
Welcome to today's WCN TV program. It's Tuesday, December 16th, 2025, and we are live. I'm not going to start with what I had planned to start with because it wasn't very nice. So I'm going to spare you that. But anyway, thank you for being here. We appreciate you tuning in today. If you're new to the program, I need to mention, if you're watching on WCNTV.net, you can click the red Join the Studio Audience button, and then you can comment, ask questions, and be with us as part of today's show. Today, we have one of my favorite guests on the program. Pastor Butch Paw is with us live from West Virginia. Pastor Butch, welcome, and thanks for taking the time to be here.
Well, thank you. Excuse me. Thanks for inviting me. I always enjoyed it. Always enjoying being with you. And I have to say again, when I mentioned Ohio, I was impressed with you and your pretty wife. You both are sincere people. And I think sincerely trying to find a way to serve God. I want to thank you for being who you are and what you're doing. I mean that seriously. I know you're sacrificing a lot for it, but it's for the glory of God. And I appreciate that.
Well, and when I said you're one of my favorite guests, I meant it. I look back at my records. It looks like you haven't been with us since June. I should call on you more often because it's always a good program when you're on with us.
Well, time goes by so fast, we stay so busy, we look around, we don't realize even what day it is. It goes by so quickly anymore.
I know. Time is speeding up. Well, we don't really have any specific single topic to discuss today. Instead, I thought we'd go through some of the headlines in the news, things that you may have missed, and we can discuss them together. You know, a lot of the stuff in the news is pretty much recycled 24/7, and you just want it to stop, but a lot of it doesn't get any exposure, and we want to get into some of those things. First of all, though, before the show began, we were talking with some of the people in our audience about a strange weather phenomenon, and Jonathan, our producer, made a video, which we're going to look at. But Betty, Jonathan, because of the way his system's set up, he can't be on the show with us, but he can run the show, so we're thankful for that. But Betty can tell us about it. So Betty, come on in and tell us what we're going to be seeing here.
Well, we're going to see fake snow. People in different areas have been doing experiment on the snow, and I believe it's from the chemtrails and those nasty geoengineering people. But if you burn it, it will not melt and it will not leave a water residue. It's quite amazing that they're doing this to us. So Jonathan had done an experiment on his snow where he lives, and it did not melt and it did not leave no water.
So and Jonathan is in North Carolina, right?
Correct.
Right, correct. Okay. So I wonder if anybody has ever done an analysis of this. According to Ray, you were telling us that this has happened for a few years, right?
Yeah, a few years ago, I saw YouTube people, lots of them were doing this demonstration right here. So it's an ongoing thing. There's something out there for sure.
Yeah. I wonder if Dane Wigginton has ever done an analysis.
Dane has talked about it. He's even said it was made of it. I can't remember what it was. But yes, he has talked about it.
Okay. So
it won't melt, and when it won't melt with the fire, and it's not much liquid in. So even if you got a foot of snow, you have very little liquid in the ground. It doesn't do anything.
Hmm.
You think you're building up a snowpack for summertime water, it doesn't work that way.
So the big news, you know, that I've been seeing for the last 2 weeks has been, you know, the huge snowstorms we've been having all around the country. And we got our share here in Wisconsin, too. But as far as I know, our snow is real because it sure makes a mess. It's very heavy, and it turns into water when it melts. So, but let's look at this video that Jonathan did. And I think he said okay, let's look at it. Got a match there. This is a snowball. I guess it's good that it doesn't ignite. I mean,
also, I noticed that there's actually no water forming on the table.
No water. Yeah, there's no water forming on the table, and it doesn't melt. And I think Jonathan said it disappeared in 27 minutes, but doesn't melt. So I saw this on YouTube and I heard somewhere online and I thought this has got to be fake, but turns out to be Jonathan's video. So,
well, Jonathan gave us good advice. You know, as we grow up, we are told not to eat yellow snow, so it might be a good idea not to eat any snow.
Yeah, it's too bad. You used to be able to do that as a kid, go out and catch snowflakes on your tongue. Can't do that anymore. So,
have you all noticed where you live, how quiet the woods are? You go out in the forest, you don't even hear birds singing. You don't hear anything in the woods. Yep, up your way too, Betty. Yeah, same thing here in the southern grouse in our area, the ruffed grouse, are disappearing. They said they could be going extinct. Trees are dying off. So all that's part of the plan. We know that. And 75% of the insects, 75% of the insects worldwide have died off. They pollinate our food. Birds eat them, different things eat them. They depend on them to feed themselves with, but they're dying off. I wonder why that is. Birds are going, insects are going. So that should tell us maybe somebody's messing with nature. And really,
yeah, I've noticed we don't have a lot of birds. We don't have a lot of rabbits. I don't think I saw a single chipmunk all summer. We have plenty of deer. There are deer all over the place.
Same thing here. Plenty of deer. No chipmunks. I mean, seeing a few squirrels around the house. No, I've seen one rabbit in 5 years.
Hmm. Yeah. So, well, we've done shows in the past on weather manipulation, and we've had Dane Wigginton on from Geoengineering Watch quite a few times. So we are aware that they're doing this, but now we're seeing the outcome. So.
Can I the honeybees? They're trying to kill the honeybees, and the honeybees are what keeps the earth going and keeps everything in sync.
Yeah, and that's something we saw a pretty good lack of this year too. Not a lot of bees, and not even a lot of hornets in the fall. Usually, I get stung. They sting me just out of spite. You know, I don't do anything to them. They just come up and sting me out of spite.
Not many wasps. Wasps build nests everywhere, and there's not many wasps around here.
Yeah, didn't see any this last summer.
The whippoorwills are all gone. The bobwhite quail are gone.
Hmm. Hmm.
I know people better get their head out of the sand because they're coming after us. And everybody, you know, they may not let that devil in the front door, but he's coming in the back door. He's attacking families.
Somebody made a comment to me, and I think it was when I was out on the road doing my distribution route. I don't know I don't know who I heard it from, but they said, have you noticed Now, this was this past summer. The government was shut down. And they have you noticed there have been no chemtrails since the government's been shut down? And he was right. There weren't any. But as soon as they opened up again, we started seeing them again. So go figure. Anyway, Pat.
This information should be shared to the churches, but the pastors won't touch it. Either they don't know it, or they're afraid afraid to tell the truth. Most pastors are, well, they may teach salvation, perhaps, I hope they do, but they don't go beyond that because it makes the congregation uncomfortable. And you can't make a lot of money making people uncomfortable. That's just the way it is.
Yeah, yeah. All right. So anyway, like I said, I don't have a specific single topic, but I do have a bunch of bad news for you, things that are not being reported. This first article is from justthenews.com. The San Diego Unified School District teaches young children about dozens of novel sexual orientations and gender identities, justifying the lessons as age-appropriate because kids as early as kindergarten are using anti-gay and anti-trans slurs. So the guide for the educators and families from the district's Equity and Belonging website, which uses LGBTQ activist material, says, at a very young age, children have already been introduced to information about LGBTQIA plus people. It's a lot of letters, which is often based on misinformation and negative stereotypes. So that's how they're justifying this. The LGBTQIA plus terminology student panel welcome slides share 9 gender identities, including demigirl, demiboy, and gender fluid, while a slide from the Trevor Project lays out 28 LGBTQ youth sexual orientations, including a lot of words I can't pronounce, and you don't need to know. So, your thoughts, Pastor Butch?
Well, I just wonder how many they're listening to the program or the main on screen now, too. How many of y'all at 5 years old knew what a sodomite was? Or a lesbian at five years old?
None of us. No.
About when you're 10 years old? No. High school, doubt it, maybe. In my age, I didn't anyway. It's all changed now, I'm sure.
I think I was about 20 years old before I learned that there was anything such thing as homosexuality. So
that's just that's for society today. But I'll just say this right up front: any Christian who put their child in public school does not love their child. Period.
Amen. Yeah,
I'm not going to apologize for that. They put them in a hellhole. I call a public fool zone, and they say they love Christ and go to try to take him to church and learn about Jesus. They spend 8 hours in school learning how to be a homosexual or whatever the case may be. When there's no God in society, society crumbles. That's what's happened.
Yeah, they've really ramped things up here in the last, well, I guess the last 30 years, 40 years maybe. But you got Planned Parenthood in school leading the they categorize it as health education, I guess. Has nothing to do with health. Has everything to do with death.
It does. They have a new book out for children 5 to 8 years old on I can't remember the exact title of it. I got here somewhere about the good of abortion and how you're a superhero because you can kill your baby if you want to.
Yeah, it's just sick. Absolutely sick.
It's beyond sick. But see, again, the pastors won't talk about this. At our fellowships, when we have Bible studies, we do what I call Christian worldview news, prophecy in the news, information that we need to know as Christians, period. But I don't understand why the pastors don't teach the flock what's going on and why it's going on and what to watch out for. I mean, we can see now, we've learned longer than I've been alive, for many generations, to put our trust in man. We put our trust in man. That's what they've been taught to do. Trust government, Social Security, Medicaid, Medicare, whatever. Trust man. They'll take care of you. So how big a leap would that be when the Antichrist comes to put our trust in him because he's going to do some good for a while? I mean, we worship Ronald, worship Trump. I mean, so why should we? I mean, we're going to do the same thing when Antichrist comes, because he'll actually do something. So we've been putting our mind for so many years that man will help us trust man and government. It's going to be no big leap to trust the Antichrist.
Well, I can tell you why the pastors won't talk about this. This particular thing is because half the people in their churches are teachers, or they work in the school, or probably 99% of the people in the church have their kids in the public school, and they don't want to offend anybody. They want to be well-liked and popular among the people. But again, as I've said before, try to name me one person in the Bible who was well-liked and popular by the people. That was a godly man.
You mean they crucified Christ because he wasn't well-liked? I mean, do you think he offended somebody?
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, you asked why they won't talk about it. That's why they won't talk about it. So it's a very sad situation. All right, so let's move on here. I got another article. This one is from the New American Prophet. And we learned that young adults are already open to AI-controlled government. A recent survey shows 41% of young adults ages 18 to 39 say they would support giving advanced AI systems authority over government policymaking. Even more striking, 36% would let AI regulate individual rights, including speech and religious practices, while 35% would allow AI to control the world's largest militaries, ostensibly to reduce war deaths. In other words, a significant portion of the next generation is willing to surrender human judgment and perhaps human freedom to algorithms.
That's happening everywhere. We went to the doctor's office today, and he said, decent gentleman, he's all excited about AI because he can type in a question, it's answered immediately, you don't try to research it. And then I guess it has some good points, but AI is definitely demonic. How do you trust AI? How do you know that you're not going to be programming a different way? And people don't believe this, but that's okay. It's fallen angel technology taking over the world. It's going to surpass man and his ability to even begin to think quick enough to keep up with it. So how long before that would become more or less a god to us? I mean, didn't the Bible say that it'd be an image of the beast to be called to worship? When the beast knows everything and can do everything, wouldn't that be an easy transition to go somewhere and find all the answers?
Well, and you know, the thing is, Satan is not omniscient, and he's not omnipresent. So I've asked this before as well. Is this how in Genesis 6, every thought of every man was only evil all the time? Are we just re-experiencing what they experienced back then? Because I believe that they had some super technology that we're not aware of.
They did back in
those days, destroying the flood, perhaps. But AI is creepy. I have checked it out, looked into it, used it for some things to see what it's all about, and I really don't want to have anything to do with it.
No.
So
it is a snare. The cell phones were a snare. I mean, TV was a snare.
Oh, yeah, the cell phones. Cell phones were really a snare.
I mean, we see children 2 years old with a cell phone in hand, there's something wrong.
Tell you what else was a snare. Well, cell phones, for one. I mean, they started off being pretty cool. You could drive around in your car and have a phone with you. And, of course, it weighed 20 pounds and it came in a bag.
That's a bag phone, yes.
And you had to, you know, you had to limit your minutes. I actually got one when I was working on the road and my wife was pregnant, and I had to have one just in case we needed it. But, you know, I didn't dare use it for more than, I think, 5 minutes a month. So. But I had it. But now, the modern day cell phone, do you know what the least used app on a cell phone is? it's the telephone.
I'm sure that's very true. I'm sure.
Yes, they have lured us into using all this other stuff, all these other things. And
I mean, those people sitting in restaurants with their family going like this on the phone.
Oh, yeah.
And through the phone. Nobody's talking. They're just getting through the phone.
Don't even have to be restaurants. It can be your family gathering. You can have the family over for a celebration or a get together, and the room is quiet. Everybody's tapping on their phones. Yep. And, you know, the old joke is, would you like to come over to our house this weekend and play on your phones together? You know, anyway.
It isn't funny, but it's true. I mean, it really is. It's sad.
Well, all right. I'm going to skip ahead here in my notes because the next one is pretty sick. But as long as we're talking about AI, this is from Michael Snyder at End of the American Dream. A recent survey shows that 2/3 of pastors are now using artificial intelligence to write their sermons for them. This is based on responses from 594 pastors. The most widely used tools are ChatGPT and Grammarly. Needless to say, most people listening to these sermons have no idea they're hearing AI. If pastors are relying on AI rather than God for the content of their sermons, what is being spiritually communicated to their flocks? And whatever happened to teaching people to study their Bibles? Now, not even the pastors do it.
Well, now you can text Jesus. You can text Jesus if you're on your phone now. And in Switzerland, they now have an AI Jesus where you walk into the confessional stand and confess to an AI Jesus.
I believe you can go on the Apple App Store and download an AI program where you can create your own Jesus. I believe that's already up. We have it in this country, too.
Well, we've been doing it for years. Just now it's on the phone. Yeah. We've been creating our own God for years, even though we go to church.
Yeah. Well,
our own God, our own needs, our own wants.
Those convenient cell phones that used to come in a bag are now in your hand, in your pocket. People actually have anxiety attacks if they happen to forget them at home. They have become our slave trackers. They track everything we do, everything we say, everywhere we go.
Very true.
So, any comments or questions from our audience?
I do have a comment.
All right.
And this AI is just really ridiculous. The Roblox, you know, they got suicide coaches on there. A lot of kids are committing suicide because of Roblox. And I had gotten a call from a person, I thought, and it was for PragerU, which is really a good outfit. But I called them back and they were asking for money. And I said, well, right now I just can't do it. And she goes, understood, understood, understood. She said, can I call you at 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock tomorrow morning? I said, no, I said that I just can't do it, you know, and I'm going to pass. And she goes, understood, understood, understood. Do you think I could call you at 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock tomorrow? And I said, by the way, are you AI? And I said, yes, I am. And I hung up.
Wow. But you know, when you talk to AI, they really do sound human. They truly do.
Yeah, they do. They do.
It's really spooky. But that's how do you think the beast system is going to work if they can't convince people it's real? And you know, a lot of things that we don't want to face, and it isn't pleasant. But if you say the scriptures, then you should. Romans chapter 1, you're talking about evil things. The Bible says man becomes inventors of evil things. They don't just do normal evil things. They invent more evil to do. That's in the Bible. And in Revelation 13, it says that the beast will overcome the church. That's in your Bible also. And it also goes to say that he'll have dominion over every kindred, tongue, and nation. And people don't understand this also, Rob, sometimes. The mark will not be some kind of flashy anything. It's going to be an economic mark. You can't buy or sell without it. So obviously it's going to be economic. And how many of us have already got adjusted to the idea that in order to do business, you got to have a driver's license, a social security number, and you got to have that to do business or buy or sell or get a job. We already got used to that idea. So it's going to be no big leap to go into this Mark the Beast technology because we're common. We're used to it. We're used to showing ID to travel, ID to get a job, ID to cash a check, whatever. We're used to it. So now what's all this technology going to do besides make it easier? You walk through an airport now, scan your eyeball, and keep right on going. They're paying now, and this is real. They're paying in some store space in UK with their palm now. They don't need a card. They pay with their palm. So this is what we're seeing happen right now, and the technology is here to do that, and probably a lot more. But they're easing in on us because if they try too fast, we'd run from it.
Yeah,
people have been conditioned to believe it.
David, come on into the program. Welcome.
Hey, good evening. Good evening, Pastor. Hi, David. Butch. How are you?
I'm doing fine. They get your radio show again, but I can't pin you down.
I know it. My signal is terrible out here, so internet is the best way to get me, unfortunately. If we can do that, it'll work. I wanted to ask you a question popped into my head. What do you see as the biggest threats to biblical authority within the church buildings today?
You asking Rob or me, or who you asking?
You. You the guest. Okay. Rob's the host. I ain't asking him no question.
No, don't ask me. Don't ask. Ask Butch is the expert.
Well, I don't know about that, but the biggest threat is that we don't have any pastors. When I say that they may have somebody there, but they're not doing the job teaching the flock and leading the flock the way they should be led and taught.
Amen.
Christ said in his word that our generation should be wiser than the evil generation, but they're not. We're not. He's mocking the church. He's kind of mocking the people. The evil people are wiser in their generation than we are in ours. And there's something wrong with that. The pastors were to teach us, according to Paul, the whole counsel of the Word of God, not just salvation. Not just how to dress or act. It's got much more than that. Satan is cunning. He doesn't come in having a red cape and a pitchfork. He comes in with attractive ways to draw you out of it. The pastors are not seeing it. They're not teaching it. We're seeing the world go into on the verge of World War III, but who covers that in church? Who talks about that? Who shares the idea that America has become had been for many years, a bully on the block that goes into nations to conquer nations, take their natural resources and uproot leaders, put other leaders in. But they don't teach that. They don't teach that who we are in Scripture. And we are in the Bible, by the way. But I don't understand why they so, either they're ignorant of the fact or they're afraid of the facts. I don't know which. But the problem with the church is they have no spiritual leaders that will want to take a stand. I said this at our Bible study last week. More of us should be in jail right now. I'm telling the truth. I mean, Proverbs 24:11-12 says, if we don't defend the innocent, he knows our souls are in his hands. He said that, read it for yourself, people. So more people I'll be put in prison. They slaughtered 60, 80 million babies on our watch. They're perverting the children's minds in public schools. They're bringing in drag queens into public libraries, and the parents should take them there to watch them. Now don't get riled up and get mad already. But the problem is not that we don't have the Word of God in front of us, but it's not being taught. It's not being taught its entirety. Most people skim over the good stuff. I mean, think about Joel Osteen. That man become a wealthy individual, tickling people's ears. You know, in Isaiah and Timothy both, it talked about preach to us smooth things. We want teachers. We have itching ears. Teach us things that we like. There's no money in preaching the truth. I know that for a fact. I've preached in 50 years. I still don't have an airplane. But anyway, so we're seeing the problem, the lack of the church is our true pastors, men of God, who don't care what people think about him, no more than Christ did or Paul did. He tells the truth and let come what may. That's the problem, David.
Well, and you made a good point earlier when you said that people are inventing ways of doing evil. I never put those two and two together. That was a very good point. You know, scripture also says that because iniquity will abound, the love of many will grow cold. And we're seeing a lot of that. My radio program today was dealing with child abuse. For about the last 3 months, just about every day across my newsfeed has been just one horrific story after another of parents abusing their own children in the most horrific ways. And so that was my radio program today. It'll be published. Well, you can find it on our website now, but it'll actually be published tomorrow. Well, actually, it was on News with Views today. So if you get News with Views, you'll see it today. But anyway, so and I didn't even get into satanic ritual abuse. I was just talking about physical abuse of children by their own parents. And anyway, I have another one here. This is from CLG News. Not dealing with kids, but a man raped a 33-year-old woman after pushing her from her wheelchair in Chicago. The 23-year-old man has been arrested 6 times in Chicago this year, including multiple times on the CTA, and is accused of sexually assaulting a disabled woman and pushing her out of her wheelchair at a downtown Red Line station. The judge ordered Rashid Griffin, detained on charges of aggravated criminal sexual assault of a handicapped person, aggravated battery in a public place, and aggravated battery of a handicapped person. The arrest is Griffin's 6th in Chicago during 2025 and his 3rd arrest in the last 6 weeks, according to police records. And the person that wrote the story put in a comment, says, due to Soros installed judges and prosecutors across the U.S., this country is done. So that's our Chicago. My dad was actually born in Chicago, and he left and moved up here before I was born. So I was the first one of our family to be born in Wisconsin. But he saw the writing on the wall back then, and that was a long time ago. But, man, you don't want to go there now. But this person, Rashid, I'm not talking about being racist here, but I wonder what nationality Rashid is.
It's not being racist. It's telling the truth.
Anybody's guess, isn't it?
It's not being racist. You know, but the scripture tells us in Amos 8:11 that crime spreads because they don't deal out punishment for it. Crime spreads because you don't punish the evildoer. This man's been arrested 6 times in the last 3 weeks, or 3 weeks and whatever it was, 3 and 6 weeks, whatever it was. Why is he walking the streets? Why is he not put somewhere we can't harm people again? As a matter of fact, I'm going to say right up front, rape is a death penalty crime. Why is he still breathing? I don't apologize for that. Murder, rape, kidnapping, that's all biblical, is a death penalty. And that's the way it is. I'm not going to change the word of God and make everybody happy. So they're walking the streets, but if there's no fear of punishment, why stop being a criminal?
Well, I tell you what, Pastor Butch, rape is not a crime if you're Islamic. If you're Muslim, it's okay. So
in the Muslim faith, I guess it is. They marry 10-year-old girls.
According to their theology, by raping this 33-year-old handicapped woman, he just made her a Muslim.
So this is what's happening. You may have seen the video. I'm trying to think. Is gentleman Mark Dice? Y'all know Mark Dice. Mark Dice is,
yes, yep.
The videos. He had a clip of a Muslim saying, "Your mistake was talking to Americans. You let us in. You'll never get it out of this country. So we are here to multiply, and they do multiply. And in Dearborn, Michigan, the city of Michigan pays Muslims $4,500 per birth to have a baby."
Is that right?
And in Dearborn Heights, Michigan, the police patch on the uniform is written in Arabic and English. So, see, that it's not their fault. It's our fault. It's not dumb boy baby's fault they were murdered. It's our fault. We can blame the mom, we can blame the dad, but it's our fault.
Yeah. When a country becomes apathetic, you're pretty much done. I had another article here, but Betty, come on in while I'm looking for this.
Okay. I just saw a video about a man, a Muslim man, or Islam man. Because some Muslims may be good, but he married an 8-year-old. Boy, I tell you, it made my blood boil. And Islam are sending out messages that they're telling people, because they want to take over America, to start ambushing Americans. And so in the last few days, we've had a woman have acid thrown in her face.
And
another one was these three women and a dog were walking, and someone jumped out of the bush with machete, killed two women and the dog, and one's in critical condition. So you had better watch your back. People need to wake up, because this is real. You know,
and that was an article that I didn't have time to get in my notes, but the woman that had acid, well, they dumped it on her head. So she has chemical burns over 2/3 of her body, but her face is destroyed. And this happened as she was leaving church. So, I believe the perpetrator there is still at large also.
Have you ever read by a gentleman by the name of Alexander Tyler, the bird's eye view of the evolution of nations? You read that short little
statement? Not familiar, no.
He wrote this, from bondage to spiritual faith.
Oh, yes.
Spiritual faith to great courage.
Yep, stop. I just did an article where I quoted that, but you go ahead and say it.
Okay, and from courage to liberty.
No, start from the top, because I interrupted and messed everything up.
Okay, from bondage to spiritual faith, from spiritual faith to great courage. That's what we're lacking right now, is courage, because we are spiritually cowards. There you go. From courage to liberty. From liberty to abundance, and that's when the problem starts. From abundance to selfishness. From selfishness to complacency. From complacency to apathy. From apathy to dependency. From dependency back to bondage. Now, how many of us can say, can honestly say about ourselves, we compromise to keep a paycheck or a welfare check or a social security check? Let's be honest. How many have kept their mouth shut because they won't go to jail and lose your stuff? Let's be honest.
Yeah, not me.
Raise my hands.
I'm waiting for the FBI, but they just won't come to my house.
Well, I've been interviewed by the FBI 3 times before a federal grand jury, not bragging myself. But we've all done that because we have abundance. We've had an easy life overall. No, we have. Mm-hmm. Materially, we've done quite well. We've got a place to live tonight, food to eat. Overall, Americans have become quite wealthy, but become apathetic with it and cowardly with it because they don't want to lose your stuff. As I said before, true Christians should be a lot worse in jail right now because of what we believe, what we're teaching, but it's not going to happen. That's why I was called before the FBI for calling a federal witness a low-down scum-sucking dog on the radio. I'm not afraid to say that about him.
Yeah.
I was called before a grand jury because of that. But see, this is what's, I'm not bragging on me. Believe me, I've many times I haven't said what I should have said. But if men don't start being men in America, you can't blame the women. It's the men. If women had real men to follow, they'd be real women. But it isn't happening.
Yeah, we are
being
actually
angry at this. I carry a gun. I carry a gun where I go. As a matter of fact, right here beside me in my desk drawer, I got a .38 revolver.
Oh, he's brandishing it now, folks.
I am. And I carried to the doctor's office today, and the doctor said, "Will you teach me how to shoot?" And I said, "Yes, sir, I will." You see, I'm not a mean person. Anybody who knows me knows I try to be as sweet as I can be because that's my nature, but naturally to do that. But you lay a hand on my wife, I'll kill you. I won't think about it. I won't apologize for it. You're dead.
Yeah, yeah. We need to be prepared all the time to protect people. To me, that's what guns are for, is protection. Well,
Rob, if I was somewhere else, maybe met your wife somewhere in the streets, and just her and I were together for a little bit, and somebody tried to hurt her and I didn't stop him, what kind of man, what kind of friend would you call me to be? What kind of friend would I be to you and to your wife?
Well, and this lady in the wheelchair that was, you know, attacked, where were the men to protect her?
I agree.
You know, a rape doesn't happen in 20 seconds. There was plenty of time for men to step up and stop this.
I'm just...
Didn't happen.
If you read... I keep getting this backward. I think 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, it says, who's not going to enter the kingdom of God? An effeminate man, that's not homosexual. Effeminate man means soft and womanish men that will not enter the kingdom of heaven. We need to examine ourselves. Are we real men, or we just look like men? What's inside us? I mean, I get angry when I think about somebody harming a child or a woman because I'm a man. God made us stronger, bigger, and hopefully more aggressive in a sense like that, because we'll protect our families. If you don't, the Bible says you deny the faith and worse than infidel.
Right.
Infidels
right.
Don't go to heaven. So this is what the Bible says, and I don't want to take over the program, Rob, but I get really fired up about this. I'm tired of these people walking around with their shirts unbuttoned, their hairy chest sticking out, and they're a bunch of wimps when it comes to doing stuff. They might beat you up and take your money, but that'll make them a man. A man stands for the truth. I'm looking at David there right now. David stood up for the truth, and what he went through, he tells it like it is. People make fun of him, but I admire him for that. That takes a lot of courage. A lot of courage. I am sick to death of people walking around saying how much they love God and love Jesus, then denying before men because they're afraid to say anything. Yeah. Matthew 10 says, Christ said, if you deny before men, I deny before my Father. So what are we going to do? Are we going to keep on playing this game that we're all going to go to heaven and wait for the rapture and don't worry about it? Or are we going to get in the battle and do something? I've been on the radio this coming March, make 33 years on the radio. That's a long time on the radio. And it takes money to run these things. You know that, Rob. It takes money to run these things. And it's getting tight again this time of year as always. The 33 years God has blessed me to be on the radio. And I'm just so disgusted with what I see the passage for real men in America today. They're not.
Well, and I need to tell folks that you've got a great radio program and a great audience. You've invited me to be on your show several times, and it's always been very good. I've been surprised your audience is nationwide, and you take callers. And we've had people call in from Timbuktu who know who I am and subscribe to the newspaper. So that blew me away when that, you know, that happened several times.
The other day in Bible study from Germany. So people do watch worldwide.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's the same God worldwide. We're serving Jesus Christ.
While we're on this, tell folks how they can listen. And I know you're on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Monday through Wednesday, 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern. They can listen. If you go to our website, pastorbutch.com, you see on the homepage right there, you're on right now, how to listen. Click that. It'll tell you all the ways you listen to the program. You listen on the phone even if you don't have any other way. We are all over the Northwest on ACN Network. They carry us all weekend long up there. You can watch us on several internet feeds, including Spotify and other things. We're on there, but there's different ways to listen. Now, we'll get ready soon. We're going in with Dave Krieger. We're working on getting a station in Florida. We're assuming going to a station in Florida. He's going to take up the station. As a matter of fact, he's purchasing a station. So God's blessing ministry, and it's expanding. I'm 33 years. I can admit to y'all, sometimes I get tired. I really do.
Really?
I do.
Can't admit that. That,
David, but I do. 77 years old now. I'm not a young man any longer. But by the grace of God, I'm still here, still doing our best for His glory, not for me. I'm not bragging on me. I'm nothing. I'm a servant. That's all that I am.
Well, it is a great show, folks. You should actually tune in. So you go 8 o'clock Eastern, right?
8 o'clock Eastern.
Okay.
Again, go to PastorButch.com, PastorButch.com, look at how you can listen.
So when you're done with me, you got about an hour break, and then you got to go back on the air.
Now I'll be on with Jerry Barrett of Power of Prophecy on Thursday afternoon at 4. He'll be recorded at 4 o'clock and played on Sunday. Mm-hmm. It's always a blessing to be asking other people's broadcast because I know that that's an honor to me for somebody to ask me.
Yeah.
You know, it really is. And I appreciate people do ask to share what I try to teach others. I'm just a mere man, a mere mortal like everybody else, but we got to speak the truth, Rob. We don't have a lot of time to play games. We're out of time, actually.
And there are not enough outlets out there actually doing that. You know, even a lot of the ones that call themselves Christian broadcasting or Christian publishing are compromised. A lot of stuff, a lot of the news stories, I get so much stuff. And a lot of it, I have to say, is just clickbait. It's nonsense. And
Joe Osteen's a good one right there. Watch it.
Wade through all of this stuff that they consider news, and it's such a waste of my time, a lot of it. So it takes a while to weed through everything. So, but I appreciate your show. You're one of the few out there that are actually informing people of the truth. So, but I want to get back to, because we had been, before we went off on this rabbit trail, we were talking about Islam and Muslim situation. This is from Just the News. It appears that Minnesota Governor Tim Walz is going to be subpoenaed over a fraud scheme in his state that reportedly saw hundreds of millions of dollars routed through nonprofits to Somali immigrants and others. The massive fraud scheme, initiated largely by individuals of Somali descent, reportedly defrauded taxpayers of more than $1 billion through nonprofits like Feeding Our Future, which critics and prosecutors say falsely claimed to provide child nutrition, housing assistance, and autism therapy services to non-existent residents during COVID. And this was under a Somali scheme. Minnesota has been lost. My wife's from Minnesota. We used to go there a lot 35 years ago when we first got married. It is not the same place. It is not the same place.
Michigan is going to be the same way.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, Texas is starting to, they build one of the largest centers of Muslim faith in Blanco, Texas.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I have my own other reasons for disliking Texas. My daughter and her husband and our two grandkids still live there, but they're thinking of coming back. Anyway, any comments or questions, Betty? I guess, yep, Betty's got her hand up.
Yeah, I just saw a video about a whistleblower from Minneapolis who used to work at a major food plant, and they hired a bunch of Somalians to do the job. And they said that they would have feces all over the place and over the food and urinate, and they could not get these people to use the bathroom. So he quit and he became a whistleblower. So it's sad that they're hiring even these people because they can't read and write English and they don't want to go by the American, you know, laws or rules. So I would love to know what company it was, but it was in Minnesota.
Do you know the whistleblower personally?
No, but he was saying that he quit because of that. Because
they didn't come here to assimilate. They come here to take over.
Well, years ago, and this was probably, I don't know how many years I've been doing this. This is probably goes back almost 20 years ago. A very small town in western Wisconsin brought in almost three times the number of their population in Somalis. And they all worked at this particular chicken processing plant. And I don't know the whole story behind it, but the plant has closed down. But it was basically all run by Somalis. The entire town was run by Somalis. Maybe they've all gone now to Minnesota. I don't know.
Do y'all know who Jake Lang is? Jake Lang was one of the guys in prison 4 years.
J6er?
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
He was up in Dearborn protesting what the Muslims are doing up there. And most of the cops up there are now Muslims, and they will not help him at all. They were letting the crowd more or less threaten him. They had to call in other cops to protect him. And this is in America. They refuse to enforce our laws. And he just went down to Blanco, Texas on the 13th, doing the same thing there. He's going to Minnesota next for the same thing. He's trying to get them to speak up. A lot of people say, well, you can't do that. Yes, you can. They're invading my home. Why shouldn't I speak up? I don't live in Minnesota. I don't live in Texas. I live in West Virginia. But that's still my neighbors. I mean, if Texas goes, Minnesota goes, why are those states going to go? And if we don't stop it, the government's not going to stop it. They're part of it.
Yeah, they're facilitating it. So,
I mean, if people don't stand up, then it's our own fault. That's all I can say. I mean, did the British, did the King of England help the patriots in America stop the invasion by his own people? Of course not. Their own government will not help them. Why do you think our government's going to do the same thing? Well, they're the ones bringing them in.
You know, sometime we should do a program and I should show you my photo collection, because a few years ago we drove through the suburbs of Detroit, and we did this on purpose. It was me and my wife, and we had our two daughters in the car because we were coming back from a trip somewhere. But I wanted to go to the Muslim centers of, you know, near Detroit. And I wanted to go into the heart of the beast and get pictures and see what was actually happening. And the pictures that I have were astonishing, to say the least. There were gas stations called Obama gas stations, Obama gas. And they had giant murals of Obama on the side of the buildings. And, you know, across the street, there's a mosque on every corner. Houses completely abandoned, or they looked abandoned. Everything's boarded up. It looked like a third world country, but it was all Muslim. The entire neighborhoods that we went through, all Muslim. Sometime I really should do a show on that and show what happens, because it was only a couple of years prior to that that it was a thriving community. They had factories that were operating, and the factories were now shut down and fenced off. And you know, this is what is happening, and it is happening in Minnesota now too. So
sure it is. Sure, I said that they didn't come here to assimilate. They didn't come here to be American. They came here to take over the country.
Yeah, I've got a friend who used to work at the Mall of America in Minnesota, and he no longer does, but he told me that there are almost no non-Muslim people at the Mall of America anymore. It's all Muslim, shopping and working and owning the businesses. So anyway,
it started. If you read the original Immigration Act of 1790, you'll see who was allowed in this country. They weren't allowed then. They didn't start coming in until 1965 when they redid the Immigration Act. That's a fact. Look it up for yourself. That's only been 70 years ago, 60-some years ago, that they started opening the doors to these people. They were not allowed. Not in huge droves, anyway. The droves of them couldn't come in. They kept it mostly, I'm going to say this right up front, to Christian-oriented people in our country, because we had a Christian culture. You cannot have a multicultural society. It won't last. One of them has got to take over. It will not stand.
Right. Okay, well, let me get one more story in here that I did a lot of notes on before we run out of time. From Prophecy News Watch, college students are being told they cannot register for classes unless they first agree perfectly and without question to a set of ideological beliefs about gender and sexuality. The requirement comes through a mandatory program called SHAPE, Sexual Harassment, Anti-Discrimination Prevention and Education. which sounds harmless enough, but behind the friendly acronym is something far more troubling, a test of whether students are willing to publicly embrace gender ideology before they can continue their education. On campuses like UCLA, UC Berkeley, UC San Diego, UC Santa Cruz, and UC Irvine, students need to complete SHAPE and score 100% on the quiz. Not a passing grade, not most correct, a perfect ideological score. And students must answer that failing to use someone's self-declared pronouns is labeled harassment. Calling a person by their biological name, now rebranded as dead naming, is also harassment. Protesting or even expressing discomfort about biological men using women's restrooms is classified as creating a hostile environment. They need to agree to this or they can't register for college, which is probably a good thing anyway. They shouldn't be in those things anyway. But in other words, but it's not harassment for a biological male to walk into the women's restroom. It's only harassment for a woman to object.
That's true.
You want one more? I got one more. Upstate New York, 51-year-old United Methodist pastor stepped into the pulpit a few weeks ago wearing rainbow stoles and announced he's transitioning to a woman, and he'll be using a woman's name from now on. He spoke of creative transformation and said it was the Holy Spirit behind his gender self-reinvention. And then he warned the congregation about fear of the unknown. He made his announcement while wearing makeup, earrings, and a wig, and he insisted that Methodist theology, scripture, his district superintendent, and his bishop all approved of his transition. The United Methodist Church officially approved homosexuality, transgenderism, and same-sex marriage at their general conference last year.
Yes, they did.
So, and that's the last story I have.
Some churches in our area pulled out of the Methodist conference because of that. They left the Methodist denomination because of that.
What has happened in the Methodist Church is atrocious. That's been going on the entire time we've been publishing our newspaper. It was going on back then. So almost 27 years. So we worked with a pastor that was actually a good one. But the every time I was in his office, he was on the phone fighting with his higher ups because he was too conservative. He was too old fashioned, and they got rid of all those old guys, replaced them with young guys, liberals, and you see what's happened to the United Methodist Church now. It's as bad as the ELCA. But anyway. We're down to about 1 minute here. You find Pastor Butch at pastorbutch.com. And Pastor, I'm going to let you have the last word before we run out of time.
I don't want to say, but I just urge the people, please stand for what's right. And it's not always easy, especially in front of your own family. You're going to get somebody mad at you probably. They may not want to talk to you longer, may not let you fellowship with them again any longer. But folks, we're talking about our souls and other people's souls. We're talking about the most important thing that you have, that's your soul and your children's soul and your neighbor's soul. If we lose a soul, we've lost something worth more than the whole world. And if we do it because we're afraid to speak up, you're going to answer one day for that. You're going to answer for that. And that's enough to scare me to make me do it, because I don't want to stand before God. Him asked me why I did not warn my family. I don't want to do that. I can't do that. So please stand. You make enemies, but the ones that believe in Christ will love you and be your brothers and sisters and stand with you. And maybe you might encourage somebody else to take a stand also. Just be men and women of God. Don't be cowardly. That's all I got to say, Rob.
Yep. And we saw that during COVID. When you have the courage to stand your ground, other people do too. They pick it up from you. So. All right, so folks, thank you. Next week, we're going to be taking a break for Christmas. I can't seem to find a guest that wants to be on that week, but I'll be back in 2 weeks, and I'll be bringing Sharam Hadian with me, so you don't want to miss that. In the meantime, please share this program. Have a blessed Christmas. God bless you. Thanks.